Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have quite a few WhatsApp messages I want to read to you. The first one says, Peter, I agree with Sandy, and they always talk, yet they can't do without it because it has some of them foolish. I don't know if I want to continue reading that. She's probably talking about the minibus people. Yeah, Peter, Sandy is correct. I'm anxious to get my own transportation. So when these matters are made public, the chairman, who owns a large fleet, populated by equal number of misses, gives us a lot of platitudes. Good morning, Peter. Some of these children give the drivers the music to play because they catch certain buses. Peter, do have a wonderful day. Peter, thank God for a person like Sandy. The crime and behavior of the youth of the country is associated with the graduates of the minibus culture. School children should not be allowed to travel on minibuses. Mr. Wickham, here's a video that you should be interested in. I'm not going to be looking at that stuff today. Sandy's a realist. She is indeed a realist. Good morning, Peter. You just heard a WhatsApp that said a person was talking pure nonsense regarding some are born with the ability to learn better than others as nonsense. Well, if that is so, that throws your claim of homosexuals being born that way out of the window. You need to respond to that. Well, VOB 104, clearly you are at sea. You know, the idea of being born different is exactly at the core of my argument, because if one can argue that homosexuals are born that way, they are born different. If a person who has dyslexia is born that way, that person is born different. My challenge is not with the idea of people being born different, because people are born differently. My idea is with your suggestion and the suggestion that was being made in the WhatsApp about some people being born faster and slower, stronger and weaker, and better and worse. I don't associate myself with that thinking, because I do not think that a person who is born a homosexual is any worse or better than anyone else. I think that person is equal. I think that a child is born with dyslexia, that comes through with dyslexia, is no better or any worse than anyone else, but I think that that child is equal. And that's a challenge that people like yourself can't seem to get it through your skull, that we are dealing with a diverse world in which people are different. And we need to celebrate differences, not use them as a basis to say that because someone is different to me, I am better than them. I have a problem with that. So you respond to that, VOB 104. Peter, I think it's time that Barbados needs to look into charter schools. Certainly that was one of the things that the Prime Minister said. I'd like to say to you, you believe 11 plus is a service to many students. I welcome the change. I want to say that it seems impossible until the work is done. Good work takes hard work, and the road to success is always construction. It's kudos to the minister, hats off to her. Peter, the common entrance exam has time for it to end has long passed. My good friend from St. George North, in effect, has said that his party was not elected by such large margins to lead and make hard decisions, but to go back to the people for the vote. Waste of time and money we don't have. So many countries don't have the colonial educational elitist system. Why is that going to destroy education, as some have suggested? The Motley administration has the political capital to do so. If not now, then when? And I couldn't agree with you more. So that would be my last WhatsApp for the time being. Then we go back to the phone lines. And we say good morning to Mr. Dennis Johnson, who is wearing carnival colors today. Yeah, so good morning, Dennis. I believe that you have a bit of Trini somewhere in your origins, so today will be a special day for you, as it was for me back in the bad old days. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing? This is Mr. P.
Yeah, I want to give me half the time to give the first one.
I can guarantee you, Mr. P, that you won't get half the time that either Sandy or Mr. Eiffel got. So make good use of what you have, but you won't get anything near what they have. We're going to have to move at a brisk pace. The program ends today at 1 o'clock, so we need to move briskly.
You have what I would call a moderator's disease. I'm going to talk about that.
Right, I know, and I am unfair, and I am biased, and we know all of the things, the negative things about Peter. So don't waste time repeating them. I'm biased, unfair, yeah, all of those things.
I am not saying you're biased.
Right. Well, I'm saying it.
I'm not. Well, let me utilize my time.
Precisely. Utilize your time wisely. Okay, you don't have a lot of it.
I can deal with this, right?
Yeah.
Another roundabout at Canada Hill in Christchurch.
Mm-hmm.
A roundabout on a straight road leaving Edy Village on route to the Corridge Cemetery.
Right. And I got two in town too.
Yeah. And then the minister, when motorists started complaining about that roundabout leaving Ely Village, came and defended its construction. And his reasons was there are going to be 700 houses in the development. Right? Now, Maya, there's a junction on the ABC Highway or the Rollamart Highway, whatever it's called, where three people lost their lives at Westmoreland Junction. And I'm not hearing the minister say anything. The only thing he said was, there's a consultant working on it. Three people dead, yeah? That should be with us today. Because there was no proper provisions for people to cross the road. The last government under Michael Ashley went painted a line. Straight line. Mm-hmm. That was the solution. You understand? I think that the time has come for the Prime Minister to remove that minister and put this now. I don't care about who will party for the, it will be in the interest of the entire populace of this island. I went down there, I tried to cross that road, even on the pedestrian crossings near to the St. Boniface School. But I won't stop. Not even a light. Nothing. You can put a roundabout or get permission for a roundabout at Kendall Hill Junction, another one, and put one up on a straight road. That makes sense. And everyday people's lives, and not only for pedestrians, for motorists too, that road and that junction is a death trap. And not only the minister wants permanent secretaries, there need to be a reassigning of permanent secretaries too. Starting with MTW. You have a lot of good people working in that ministry. A lot.
Tell me something, Mr. P. You feel that the decision that has been made to erect those roundabouts was not made without technical support and advice? And do you believe that the decision was made entirely by the minister without consultation with others at the food chain?
Let me tell you something. I can answer your question this way, right? A lot of people who have the positions, I'm not saying it is in this case because I don't know much, but who they know, allow ministers, don't question them, allow them to do as they like. I remember the late Howard Griffith, I'm not saying anything bad about him. Let me tell you something, he's the best chief technical operator, director, as it was known then, that ministry would ever have. And what bothers me, some of them would have come up underneath him. And I mean, it is so sad. The minister can dictate to Mr. Griffith what to do. He will listen to you. And if your idea is workable,
all right,
he will do it. Right? Another thing too.
Mm-hmm. Well, final thing.
Another thing. I have long realized that the functions of that ministry is not to be, what word should I use? It tend to work. There was a former permanent secretary who was an engineer in the ministry, well loved, well respected, knew his work, used to do his work. He was an engineer promoted to PS. I said, good. MTW going to fly.
Right,
sir. Century transfer. What did I tell you?
Well, maybe they had other, maybe he had a higher calling. Mr. P, I want to thank you for your contribution. Someone just WhatsApped me and said that they think that you should run for office. And I would want for you to give that consideration as well, because the lady is telling me that you seem to have all the answers, so maybe you should run for office. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, sir.
I'd like to contribute to the debate on education.
Please feel free, sir.
First of all, I'd like to look at the primary school plan. I think that each primary school is in need of a special unit so we can deal with the problems that we see arising in the primary school.
Like what, so?
Well, all these problems, people being unable to read and stuff like that. the ones who suffer with dyslexia and so on.
Do you think that you need a special plan to cater to that?
I'm saying that each primary school will have a special unit so that the people in that school will be able to deal with the issues from that school.
But why do you think... I'm not disagreeing with you that there needs to be a special approach. But I'm saying that if you have an increased number or an enhanced number of children who are manifesting the symptoms of dyslexia in schools, do you think that there is a basis for your suggestion that there needs to be a special unit? Or alternatively, maybe we need to have a special approach?
I'm saying that each school will have a special unit so that they would deal with the students in that school who present those problems. I'm not saying that we take all of them and put them in a special school.
No, but I'm just trying to understand why we need to have a special unit. There's special units at some of the schools. There's special units at some of the schools.
Normal children?
Yeah, but that's the point. That there's because they're not abnormal. A child who has dyslexia is not abnormal.
People will be in the schools.
Sorry, sir?
Normal children, but it's just that people will be focusing on their needs.
But what I'm saying, but what's abnormal about them that they need to be put in a special unit?
So that people can cater to them.
No, but I mean, if they need to be catered for, they can be supported in the classroom along with their friends and colleagues of different abilities.
But they will still be in the school with their friends and colleagues.
All right. I don't agree with you, sir, but suffice to say, this may very well be where we go as a stopgap. Right.
All right.
If we have a special unit in some schools that deal with learning challenges, and that is a way station towards fully integrating all of the children into all of the classrooms, then I would say let's take that as a way station. I would hold that as a stopgap. But the ideal situation is where children can be educated equally alongside each other in a fully integrated environment. That's the ideal.
Have the unit, okay, you can
put I take your point, sir. So let's move on. Yeah,
okay. I also believe that there should be these specialty persons in the primary school: a reading specialist, a counselor, social worker, teacher aide,
there's plenty,
clerk typist, and a security guard. Apart from the teachers, I think those persons should be employed in
so that's plenty people
primary school. Pardon me?
That is a lot of people.
So what is wrong with that?
The price tag, I'm not saying the children are not worth it, but the price tag associated with that is significant.
But saying that our only natural resource is people, we should be doing everything to make sure our
Suppose I was to say to you, sir, that in every primary school, we ought to have specialist teachers who are trained to deal with particular types of challenges, and they should be employed as teachers alongside other teachers in schools. Because as it stands now, you have, let's say, 20 teachers in a school, and all of them have similar training, while none of them may have specialist training. So I think that there's a basis for that. I mean, the social worker and stuff like that, I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I do agree that there needs to be greater diversity regarding the training of teachers, and also the facilitation of those teachers once they're trained to do specialist work in those schools.
Also, there should be continuous assessment. This will be to look at the strengths and weaknesses of each student in the primary school.
We agree there, yeah.
Okay.
That's something 11, we agree with entirely.
At 11, students will transition from primary to secondary. Mm-hmm. We will use the feeder school system. You will be transferring to a secondary school within cross proximity to your primary school.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Now, at secondary level, all secondary schools will be awarded sixth form status. When the children transition to the secondary school, they will be given 3 years of general education. Each secondary school will also be a specialist school. For form, children would opt for the school that they want to go to. according to their specialty. And you have, you'll be given the opportunity. If your first option, if after the first year for a farm, your first option is not working out, you'll be given a chance to opt for something else. And you'll transfer to the secondary school that is doing that option. Mm-hmm. The Egdon Nichols Center, that should have a residential component. Nobody is going down there for 10 days and going back home. When you are assigned to the Egdon Nichols Center, you're spending 3 months there. And there should be some facility. Probably the Defense Force could look after that there, where the students are housed there. And on mornings, they are bused to the center. And the parents could come and see them 1 hour on Saturdays and 1 hour on Sundays.
Okay. It's interesting stuff that you're talking. And, you know, all of these ideas are thrown in the pot. So I'm going to try and see how many we can get on the table today. These issues are always very contentious and always creates an interesting program when we have talk about 11 plus alternatives and challenges. I think some of the stuff you said makes a whole lot of sense. I disagree with some of the other points, but certainly we can throw that all in the mix. And I want to thank you, sir, for your contribution, and I hope that you call again to chat with us. Peter, I live in the Cayman Islands, and why the private schools have excelled above the public schools is because there is a special resource officer that works with the slow learners, as you call them, until they're brought up to the required level. They get special sessions, and they find this works well. In addition, there are free after-school sessions that children can attend for an hour each day, depending on the subject they need help in. The model has worked, and private schools have outperformed public schools consistently. I think that you and I would need to have a conversation, because your WhatsApp is replete with some fundamental elitist assumptions that I don't have the time to unpack now. So let's just move on. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Peter,
good morning. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Man, not too bad.
Yeah.
You come up, you drain me out, man.
How's that? Oh, you mean the length of time?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm trying to move it a little faster now, because I realize that the first two calls took us...
An hour.
Yeah.
Repetitive, man. Repetitive.
Well, the thing is, sir, when I speak to good people about something I'm passionate about, I get carried away. So...
Okay, all right, let me...
And you know that's my passion. So anyhow,
Let me say this, and I'm going to be very sharp. I heard you made 2 points that left me...
Kerfuffled?
Speechless. The point you made... about why should what Glenn Clark said. I said that I would say that one of the most vital thing Glenn Clark has ever said in Parliament. Mm-hmm. That we should go to a referendum. And then you said, why should you go to a referendum for the public that know nothing about education?
About the issue about education
to make a decision. Mm-hmm. Now, that same public vote for the same politicians you're talking about.
Right,
you
know? Precisely, to make decisions on their behalf. That's why it's called a representative democracy.
So when you tell them that, you mean they were not sensible enough to choose
people? No, they were sensible enough to choose people that they felt could make decisions
then
on their behalf.
You went on and made another statement that they disagree with you. Mm-hmm. That because you have 30 members in Parliament, you have all... You could do as you like.
No, that's what you said.
I'm making an argument with you on.
But I want you to make an argument, because this is an important conversation for us to have.
I know when to deal with you with issues.
Sir,
I don't want
it is an important conversation for us to have.
But look, I ain't going down that road.
Sir, I want to go down that road, because referenda...
You spend a lot of time...
Sir, referenda... have been controversial. I have spoken about my views on referenda over and over again.
But sir, I put
a case to you, and I have argued that the challenge with a referendum is like going to a doctor and saying to the doctor, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I want you to give me X antibiotic or Y antibiotic.
But, because you
say it on TV and it sounds like it will work.
But Peter, the same politicians come out, the same society, and then more.
Yeah, but the difference is that Santia Bradshaw speaks to you yesterday, right?
Huh?
Santia Bradshaw speaks to you yesterday.
Not to me.
Not to me. She wasn't speaking to you.
That I don't agree with nothing that when I'm talking, because the old system.
Yeah, but you see, you just block out everything.
But listen, all right. Listen to
let
what
me
I
let me finish
saying.
My point. Let me finish my point. Sandy Bradshaw spoke yesterday,
uh-huh.
with the benefit of advice and support from a myriad of educational professionals who uh-huh. have done research, who have uh-huh. made recommendations and advice. The point I'm making is that if Santia Bradshaw speaks with the benefit of that advice and says, we have made a decision that it is better for us to go in a different direction because of the advice I have received from educational professionals, I think that that statement is superior. Hold on a second. That statement is superior to the statement that would be made by somebody who is a medical practitioner who studies medicine,
I've heard you said that.
Or a legal practitioner who studies law, who knows nothing about education and says, yeah, well, I feel that it should be the same way it was because that's why I went to school. And I want people to be able to go to school at Harrison College like me.
Also, you
get the point I'm making?
But I want you to get mine too. The point that I want to tell you, that the very advisors and the very consultants went through the same system.
That's true. I did too.
Good. And I lay my case.
I did too.
All right, good. Let me lay my
case. The advisors and consultants went through the same system and uh-huh. were able to read and to understand the deficiencies of that system and are making recommendations against that background. You know what is interesting in all of this, sir? And I know you don't have a lot of time for the argument, so you're not really listening to me, right? Prime Minister Mia Motley had the best education that money could buy in Barbados. She went to Queen's College. I mean, it wasn't foundation, but let's say, you know, in the scheme of things, it wasn't half bad. She went to Queen's College, and then she went to London School of Economics, okay? Sandhya Bradshaw had pretty good education as well. She went to foundation, which in my opinion is the best school in the country. After that, she went on to University of the West Indies, and she has a degree. These are people who have not suffered in the system. I'm a person who can say I haven't suffered in the system either.
But yet still,
we are able to look back and say there are clearly some deficiencies that have caused others to suffer, and we need to fix it.
No,
but that means nothing to you?
What I am telling you, that it is the privileged group that trying to maintain the status quo, that they should consistently hold
sir,
the
that statement is so wrong. That statement is so wrong.
You give a statement. You
sir,
want
that statement is so wrong. If I was interested in preserving the status quo, I would not be saying what I'm saying here today.
But you just said that Fongdez is the best school.
Right, it is.
But what you would
but
say
as a statement of fact, there ain't anything to think,
all right,
to debate.
Let me finish with that.
But the point of the matter is that I also accept that a system that carves out foundation for certain people is not a good system. And I accept that part of the reality going forward is that people like me would not have been able to go to foundation. So, I would have gone to school at Ellerslie, which is right next to me.
We only got to 1 o'clock. Let me go on to what you want to go on to.
But I don't understand why you don't want to discuss these issues because your reason why you don't support the referendum.
To discuss, could be, I call the radio.
All right, you go ahead, sir. You go ahead.
Right?
You go ahead.
Now, I want to deal a little bit in politics. You know, that's my line. You like dealing with education. Let me deal with
politics, too.
Politics. Let me, I heard you.
Mm-hmm.
Said pertaining to the speech that was made by former Prime Minister Mr. Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to understand that talking about the Democrat Labour Party is not comfort for me. I was sent home by them. But I like to bring reality to the public.
Sure.
Now, let me say this. When you made mention about F. Stewart is the right person to lead, the man never said he coming back to lead. But I went on to hear people questioning about the apology. Now, I would say this, that if you're talking about an apology, I would say one apology that the Democratic Labour Party, and it is not an apology, it's a policy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can blame one, blame the other. You could recall, because you know you and I like to go down the political side of scientific proof.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could recall that prior the 2013 election, one of the things that Prime Minister Trump said to the public that not one person would be laid off or going home. You can remember that?
Not a single worker.
Not a single person.
Yes.
Now, that is the first instance that I see shake the boat. Because shortly after the election, men were sent home. Now, you would recall the statements that were made by the present government, that A, there were too many ministers in government at that time, and they would reduce, and there were too much taxes. So when you look at the two, bring a balance. Both made promises. And I ain't going to take up much time because I carry all the time. I want other, I like to listen to other people. Yeah. Now, the other accusation that was laid about apology, that what Dr. Esvitt said at Compamere, pertaining to Prime Minister Mayor Martin. Now, I want to bring a balance. You remember 1986 election?
Yes.
You remember what was said about Mayor Zubarkovic? Huh?
The fact that I am laughing at me is that I remember what I was saying.
You remember what was said?
I remember what was said, yeah.
Good. So what's the difference between what was said at Combermere and what was said in St. George about Mayor Zubarkovic? Two political parties. Huh? And last but not least.
Go ahead.
The last but not least. You are talking about different groups within the Barbados Democratic Labour Party at this present time, splinter groups. We had splinter groups in the last opposition when you had the Oenava faction, the Mayor Martley faction. All I was trying to do to the public is bring reality.
What I
want to say to the public now, that the Barbados Labour Party is consists of the Democratic Labour Party, second 11. Kerry Simmons, Clyde Maskell, and you will count all of them that was associated with the Democratic Labour Party that is now part of the Barbados Labour Party. So I call them the second 11 within the Barbados Labour Party, the DLP second 11. Yeah, you want to bring this out here that people can understand the politics.
I'm sorry that I can't engage you fully on it.
Yeah, that's why I said I'm not going to shut down.
No, but the Maisie Barker-Wells one I want to pick you up on, because I remember a lot of things were said about her in that election. Some of them were amusing. But no more amusing than what was said, regarding, yeah. But the point I'm making, and I mean, we chuckle at these things, but they're not funny. We chuckle at them, but they're not funny. The point that I am making, sir, is that if we accept that it was inappropriate to refer to Maisie Barker-Welch in the way that she was referred to in 1986, does it mean then that it was correct to refer to Prime Minister Botley in the way that she was referred to?
I am not in agreement with none of them.
So the point I'm making is that I understand that that type of robust political thing is nothing new, but I also think that we have to get out of this idea that because somebody else does it, it is okay. It is not okay.
But
I don't believe for 1 minute that Prime Minister Motley was anywhere shaken or disturbed by anything that she heard at the meeting. Because she has one of the broadest backs in politics that I've ever found.
At the same time, however,
the fact that a political party would engage in that kind of conversation for an extended period of 3 or 4 hours speaks volumes about that political party. So I would say, yes, to say things about Maisie Barker-Welch was wrong. However, it is as wrong now to have a similar conversation.
Draw this comparison. Yeah. No, last but not least.
Sure.
I want you to prepare. We want to do privatization and government. Mm-hmm. Because what? This is the next time when they call. And my analogy to that is, what is the difference between a grave digger and a soil technician? A capitalist and a privatization. I want to deal with that issue next time we get back.
All right. I am back in 2 Tuesdays, and perhaps you and I can have that conversation then.
Why they giving you such a far break, though?
You need to talk to Dennis about that. Dennis is new with me. You need to talk to Dennis about that.
I got to tell Dennis I don't believe in that.
All right.
Okay. All right. Have a nice day.
In the meantime, there are lots of other people to talk to on the program, so... You know, that facility is there. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling, and we chat again soon. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Winnie. How you doing? Long time no hear.
No, too. I haven't spoken to you since the new year began. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
Not too bad. The gentleman...
How are the knees going?
What do what?
How are the knees going?
Don't even go there. Everything going wrong. I got to take them off. I got to take them off, you know, rub them off, grease them, and put them back on again.
But you're able, your mobile still though? You're able to get her out?
Yeah, mobile, yeah.
Yeah. Mobile. I know at this time of the year when it's cooler, normally the knees would give more trouble.
Oh yeah, it's true. When it back as well.
But you anyway, don't give in though. You keep moving.
No, Peter.
Even if in as much as before, at least keep moving, you know.
Peter, I don't see why Glenn talk about referendum. Why he can't put his mouth in that? If the government decided they're going to do away with 11 plus, which to me, it's unfair to some children, because there's some children, when it comes to writing exam, they panic. They cannot do it. They sweat. They can't even write their name.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a fair chance with everyone else, you know, that don't have to be under that pressure. You know, it's not nice, because trust me, when I was at school and it's exam time, they couldn't find me nowhere. I gone, hung around with a couple of their children who couldn't do the exam, because I do not like even to fill up a form. It's my husband fill up a form for me. I did those things like my, you know, you shake. So we don't need a referendum than that at all. If the government come to the people and explain what they're doing. In the United Kingdom, they do away with that years ago. The gentleman they're talking to you about.
They had a referendum there recently, though.
Oh,
to throw away Europe.
Oh, God, it's the worst thing they do anyway. Yeah. Never mind, you know, that's part of it anyway. That's part of life, isn't it? Mm. You know, but we don't need no referendum and educating the people, children. Every kid is not smart. But what the government, I would like them to do, you see, there is children who are very slow, cannot mix in the same classroom as the other children. Those are the children that need, because my niece and my stepson wife, they do that kind of, you know, two or three teachers to about five kids.
Mm-hmm.
To help them along, how to spell their name, how to put it together. They have a special class with those children. There is going to need special children, class teachers for special children. They got it in the same school, but there is a part of the school that is for those kids that in the school who are, you see, kids misbehaving. It's just because they cannot catch up with the work, you know.
In many instances, yeah.
Huh?
In many instances.
That's it. So they need attention.
Winnie, the only thing I disagree with you on is that you use words like smart. I have a problem with the use of a word like smart, because
what opposite, would you use
then? Yeah, the opposite of smart is dumb. They're just different. It's not both smart and dumb. Because
and in
my time, it was bright and dumpsy.
No,
right?
We used to call you an idiot. They used to call you.
No, man, we used to call it dumpsy.
You know, but
I actually had a dumpsy class at my primary school, right? Because it was where they put all the dumpsy children together. That was the language that was used.
And
in
I
those
bet
it days.
Didn't have more than one.
My challenge is that we now know better, Winnie. And I have a difficulty with a child being called smart and dumpsy, or smart and slow.
That's true. That is true.
I have a problem with it because think that a child who is good at different things to English and maths is not smart. It just is that child is different.
But Peter,
so I would encourage you to use the language of difference as opposed to the language of smart and slow.
Anyway, Peter, listen, just one more thing. Peter,
mm-hmm.
What, Peter?
Yeah.
Listen to me. What I'm saying, do you know the children then that you see are slow learners? Those children can build things. Those children can do things that the one you see called smart cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because I have a nephew who is dyslexic, very bad.
Right.
He cannot, if you do the giant of writing, it's like you're speaking another language to him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it in capital letters, he understand it. So I know what it is to know. We used to call him, you're foolish, you're stupid or what. Until one teacher come into the school, a guidance counselor, and recognize he's not stupid, he's dyslexic. And that is why, and he used to misbehave in the class. But since that teacher take him and another child and work with them, he was all right. Now he's second in charge of an old people home.
Okay.
But everything they know about him, everything got to be in capital letters. They cannot join it up. Not even his own name he cannot write it, join up. He won't understand it.
All right.
No, so people are, we don't need a referendum on this.
I agree with you.
I do
We know what we got to do. We just got to do it.
And do not let no one come and tell you do this and do that. You, Miss Monty, the greatest leader there is in the world, she, beside Barack Obama as well, she knows what she's doing. I don't know much about Miss Santia Bracha, but she seems to be a very intelligent lady. And I'm going to close now, okay? Let somebody else get in. But right. Mr. P, leave the gentleman alone. Every time you're coming on, but he should go. You should come over here. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Winnie. I have a message that we need to have to read. It's a new story, and I'm told that the story of the Canadian visitor who was shot in Barbados is turning out to be a big news story in some Canadian media. They are reporting that the man who was shot in his shoulder is now paralyzed. The man's wife is quoted as saying that the bullet entered his shoulder, continued through his lung, and got lodged in his spine. She said he is paralyzed from the clavicle down, meaning he still has the use of his arms, but he cannot walk. And this is a new story that has come to us from the news department. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning, ma'am. How are you doing?
I am good. This is my first time calling.
Welcome to the program, ma'am. It's good to hear from you. You are a young student?
I actually graduated school 2 years ago.
Okay. Graduated from high school? Secondary school. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're working?
I guess that's all.
Okay. Good. All right.
First of all, let's just say happy about the common entrance ending. Yay.
Lovely.
I wish I was the one. The students know that would be able to benefit from this new measure. And it would be good. I got a few tips that will help.
Sure.
I know people talk about dyslexic students.
Mm-hmm.
Let me choose something. Dyslexic students, one of the smartest kids I ever met. I got this one fella, he really good at building anything. We used to carry phones to get repair from me, laptops, you name it. He would build Bluetooth speakers. The only issue was he couldn't read, but he knew exactly what he was doing. And then it got a fellow that he good at music. He could read music really well and compose music, but he just couldn't read like big words and the books in school, that sort of thing. So I would say they're very intelligent, just in a different way than the way that society believes what smart is.
I support that. I mean, everyone who has reading challenges is not necessarily dyslexic. And indeed, everyone who is dyslexic doesn't necessarily have reading challenges. But I get the point you're making, and I agree with you entirely, ma'am, that to suggest that someone is differently skilled is dumb, is an unfortunate statement to make. So
True. Yeah. For the secondary schools, it would be cool if you could get them to be like more vocational.
In some instances.
Yeah, because right now it'd be real hard again, like if you want to go in, like the skills training stuff, because they're always in a full, BCC is be full often. UE, it's kind of confusing to pick what you want to do at UE because it's like so much stuff and you don't really know what the subjects offer because they don't really have a breakdown. So that's kind of overwhelming.
What are you interested in without disclosing your identity?
No problem.
What are you interested in doing that you feel could have been offered at secondary school?
More business studies, especially for like entrepreneur aspect, more than working for somebody.
Yeah,
I love business studies a lot, and I really want to help creatives knowing how to make money and that sort of thing. So basically, I want to be a public relations for companies and stuff. That's my ultimate dream.
All right. So you felt that the school environment could have prepared you better for entrepreneurship?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm inclined to agree with you, ma'am, because I had the same challenge in that I was thrown into entrepreneurship pretty suddenly.
Yeah.
And I believe that I've always really lacked a lot of the skills that an entrepreneur should have, like how to write an invoice.
Yeah, it'd be overwhelming.
It is.
Sometimes you could go in depression if you don't really know, if you don't really know how to get help, you know?
Right.
Those
were some of the recommendations. Were there anything else you wanted to mention?
Yeah, and it will be, like, we were talking among us, a few past students and students that we still know that going to school, we was talking and we was like, it'd be cool if we could see St. Michael's going to a school of, like, medicine or something like that. We know a lot of medicine students and stuff that's be from St. Michael's, QC, architectures and stuff that's mostly be, like, around some lower schools, like I know St. James is one. I know Harrison's College. And I know Combat Merida is really producing really good business people, business minds and stuff. And St. James is create a lot of good. Right now, St. James is doing a lot of good, like electrical engineers, technology, that sort of thing. Guys building Bluetooth speakers, that sort of thing. And St. Lucie really good at art and that sort of thing. So it'd be kind of good if you could see schools really being highlighted for the culture they're really known for, and maybe students who may want to study medicine and stuff could go to the schools that really will offer them the subjects they really want to do, or children who want to do more of architecture and that sort of thing, go to schools that really offer them what they want to do. Same for people who want to study cosmetology, culinary arts. You know, I got a few schools that really are taught those in culinary arts. It'd be good to see where students want to go in case of building skills.
You'll be happy to know, ma'am, that part of the conversation that the minister has been introducing is this whole idea of centers of excellence. As it stands now, we have, 22 secondary schools, I believe, if the last count is correct, and then several private ones. And the syllabus in all of them is the same. All of them offer the same subjects.
Yeah.
And the argument is basically that it makes little sense to have our resources deployed in that way. I agree with you that most of the doctors and lawyers have been to one or four schools or five schools, as the case may be, because that's the reality of the academic stream that people go into.
True.
The reality is that there's really no reason why that needs to be the case. If, let's say, for example, you wanted to create the academic environment that would lead to medicine and law at St. Lucie Secondary, you could do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you could essentially carve out a niche for other things at other schools. And that's part of the whole idea of centers of excellence. So if there's, for example, an interest in languages, the presumption is that St. Leonard's would be the logical place for that child to go, where they can be exposed to not only French and Spanish, which is the standard, but perhaps, you know, German and Italian and Chinese, Mandarin or whatnot. That to me would make a lot of sense to consolidate your resources in the same way. The same can be said for someone that may have an interest in music. You know, if there was an academy that could offer advanced training in music and that could introduce children to steel pan, to cello, to violin, to saxophone, to different musical instruments, and in the context of a child who is interested in perfecting the art of music, that could be another center of excellence. We need one for sport.
Exactly.
Perhaps we need one for drama and the arts.
So true, and it would take it ease off of like community colleges and stuff like that, because only one community college and they're the only one who really offer those
all
wide
of that
varieties
type of stuff.
Of studies. Yeah.
So you're making perfect sense, and my understanding is that this is part of the package that we are bringing forward, or that is supposed to be brought forward, where we develop these centers of excellence that, to me, make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having every school replicating or replicating badly, we have centers of excellence that allow for people to, you know, perfect different arts and skills. You'd be interested to know that in different parts of the world, that's actually how it works. For example, the Italian system, I believe intermediate ends, runs up until the child is 13 or 14. And it's at that point that a specialist decision is taken regarding which specialization a child is going to pursue. Because the feeling is that it's too young to do it at 11, so they wait until the child is 13 or 14. And that's when the child says, you know, I want to be a cosmetologist, I want to be an actor, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor. And they're exposed to training that would take them in that direction. So you don't have a situation where somebody who is 13 is given 12 subjects to do and is kerfuffled by all of them, you know?
True.
So, all right, ma'am. I want to thank you for calling. I hope that it won't be your last call. And
I
appreciate very much the thought that you put into the contribution that you made this morning. It's good to hear from young people who have something positive to say. Thanks.
I just want to wish everybody best. And I know that this could benefit a lot of the young students that could benefit from this new change.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see a lot of success coming from it.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Thanks a lot, ma'am. Right. I couldn't agree with you more.